You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
It is our Worry Week is substance use, abuse and legislation. The New Zealand Needle Exchange has been in operation for 30 years and was one of the first of its kind globally. I spoke with Catherine Leaf from the New Zealand Needle Exchange to discuss the program and its effect in New Zealand. I began by asking her to explain exactly what the Needle Exchange is.
The Needle Exchange program is a place where people who are injecting drugs or engaging in other skin piercing activities can come and get access to new needles and other equipment for the purposes of injecting.
What are the risks of using dirty needles?
Well, one of the key things that the Needle Exchange is actually set up to address is bloodborne viruses. So hepatitis C, HIV, and other infections that can result from using needles that aren't new. New Zealand is the Needle Exchange is one of New Zealand's most successful public health programs. Internationally, people who inject drugs, about 13% of the community have HIV. In New Zealand, that's 0.2% entirely because of the early introduction of Needle Exchange.
And the program's been in place for about 30 years. When it was when it first began, what sort of was the public view of it, and did it have parliamentary support?
Look, back in the mid to late 80s, of course, that was a time when, you know, there was a lot of concern around HIV. We were seeing things happening overseas. And New Zealand was actually the first country in the world to implement a nationwide state-sponsored needle exchange. So there were a lot of people, a lot of who really kind of got what the key issues were at that very early time. If you kind of Google that time as we can now and look at a lot of the media commentary and things, look, it wasn't without controversy. I mean, it was quite a major achievement that it was brought through, but people really recognised that if we were going to actually address issues related to HIV, a needle exchange program was going to be really, really important. And there were key people at the time, activists themselves from the drug-using community, support from the gay community who were kind of leading on homosexual law reform at that time, and also sex workers. Everybody worked together and got political support for a health-based approach.
And how do you think people view the program now?
Well, I guess a lot of people actually don't know about the program. It's one of those programs that if you need to know about it, you know about it. We're a peer-based, peer-led service. So if you're involved in injecting and using drugs in New Zealand, you'll be aware of us. And I guess that's one of our successes, is that those who need to know about us know about us. I think public attitudes have changed a lot over the years. I think, in fact, we saw yesterday with the Drug Foundation's poll on legalisation of cannabis or attitudes towards cannabis. People, I think the New Zealand public understands the importance of a health-based approach to working with people around issues of drug use.
And, I mean, this is sort of one of the rare occasions, I suppose, where the government has treated drug use as a health rather than a criminal issue. Do you feel we need to see more of this?
Look, absolutely. And we need to see more harm reduction initiatives in New Zealand. We've had pilots around drug checking. There's an antidote to overdose called naloxone that we're currently working on with people in the ministry to make available to in the New Zealand context. So yeah, drug checking, naloxone, easy access services that provide education and generalised support. Those are all really important harm reduction initiatives that we could see more of in New Zealand, and also increasing the amount of equipment that we actually supply. I mean, I think the New Zealand as a country, we are seen as quite progressive. We've still got more work to do. And indeed, you know, we introduced needle exchange early on, but as I say, there are other things now that we know that we should be doing, that we are indeed working on with other people, but, you know, we need to push for more harm reduction services.
I suppose with the success of the program, do we see similar programs fairly widespread globally?
Yes, I mean, needle and syringe programs, as they're known internationally, are a well-accepted cornerstone of a health-based approach to drugs. We can't it's widely accepted that just trying to get people to stop or an approach that is criminal justice based basically doesn't work. If you look at Portugal, who decriminalised drug use back in 2004, the number of people in treatment has actually increased as a result. There are fewer HIV infections and fewer people go to prison as a result of drug use. So I think it is a very widely harm reduction and health-based approach is that the evidence is there for them. And indeed, bodies like the United Nations on Office on Drug Control and WHO, the World Health Authority, see needle and syringe programs as a cornerstone of a public health approach to drug use. One of the interesting things in this part of the world is that Australia and New Zealand led the way in a peer-led, peer-based model, and that since has been replicated internationally because it's been shown that it works. There's a lot of stigma and discrimination around drug use, and those of us who've used drugs and injected drugs have experienced that, so we trust our peers. So to be able to go to a service where you know you won't be judged, where you know there are people who know what they're talking about, is a really key element of what has made New Zealand's program a success.
And so, I mean, where do people go to exchange the needles?
So there are 22 needle exchanges throughout the country, from Northland down to Invercargill, and there are 190 pharmacies. And we have an outlet directory, so if you're part of the program or you need to find out about us, you can contact, get that information and know where to go.
If you go to a pharmacy, say, rather than somewhere else where your peers are doing the exchange, is this a different experience of the exchange?
Look, it's a different service type. So 85% of the distribution that we do in the needle exchange program in New Zealand is actually through what we call the outlets, which is our services. So about 15% is done through pharmacy. And obviously, in the cities, a pharmacy service can still be quite anonymous. But obviously, in a more rural area, you perhaps are kind of making contact with people that you already know, or your anonymity. So your auntie from across the road is working at the pharmacy, it makes it more difficult to access. But most people will use our outlets. But of course, there's only 22, and we're a large country with isolated communities, so people will access equipment in the best way that they can.
So is this enough outlets, or would you like to see more?
Look, we're always looking to how can we increase our reach, and we're looking at innovative ways that we can do that. So New Zealand's also unique in that we have what we call peer-to-peer distribution, so people can come into an exchange and pick up for other people as well. Now that's particularly important if you look at our geography in rural communities, so that's a key issue. We're also looking at how we can use online, how there are models where you can actually use digital platforms and various processes by which to get people with new equipment. Because the most important thing is that people use new equipment for every injecting episode. That's how we'll successfully address and eliminate hepatitis C and other blood-borne viruses in New Zealand.
And I suppose people who might not have used a needle exchange before, is there maybe a fear that they'll go and then someone will tell the police? I mean, how does this, is it a bit of a legal grey area?
I guess that fear, which links to what I spoke about earlier about stigma and discrimination, is kind of a concern. Who will see you going into the needle exchange? I mean, I guess one of the things is people actually have to know that building is a needle exchange. Mm. I guess a lot of people don't know that. People will be concerned. We have really good relationships with the police in the sense in that we don't have problems with the police camping outside our needle exchanges and looking for who's coming out. And there are various laws and regulations that mean that if you're in possession of equipment that comes from a needle exchange, you shouldn't be prosecuted. You can't be prosecuted for possession of authorised equipment. So that's one of the key parts of it. But actually, I think going to a needle exchange, most of us, we learn to inject from other users. So people will probably be taken along or shown. There's a kind of a community, there's a way that things kind of work and you're kind of introduced. So I think that's kind of part of how it works. But one of the things that we are seeing in New Zealand now is a change in drug use patterns. So traditionally we used to be opioid injecting, and now we are seeing, obviously there's an increase in steroid injecting and issues around methamphetamine injecting. So those people may not come from, if you like, the traditional groups that would have accessed needle exchange in the past.
And when someone goes to a needle exchange, suppose are there sort of attempts to give them information if they'd like to stop using or...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, needle exchange staff, it's a highly skilled role. People often think, you know, that the highly skilled roles are, all roles are highly skilled, but, you know, it's like the therapy. But actually, one of the important things about needle exchange is you can come to a needle exchange, it's anonymous and it's confidential, and you can just get your equipment. So there doesn't have to be any other interaction or information provided in order to get new equipment, because that's the key thing, getting people new equipment. But the skill of our staff and the program is we build relationships with people so that we can have conversations and provide support, provide information, and you know, also help with onward referral to services and access to other programs if that's what the person requires. And we give really important safe injecting advice and information. So our staff are very skilled in picking up kind of what they see and the clues and connecting between the information that people are being given. So we become aware of things like injuries or unsafe practice so that we can provide support.
Worry Week on The Wire.
Yes, that was our...
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.